Hi, this is Ruth McCauley returning with the second half hour of news from the Decatur area for Thursday, October 8th. We begin with some of the obituary notices appearing in the Decatur Herald and Review. Ted W. Boyer, 57, of Mount Zion, formerly of Bethany, passed away at 8:20 p.m. on Monday, October 5th, in his residence. A celebration of life service will be held at 4 p.m. Sunday in the Reed Funeral Home in Sullivan, with the Reverend Marge Overlot and Tim Dudley officiating. Visitation will be held from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday. Burial will take place in Prairie Home Cemetery, Moquegua, at a later date. Memorials are suggested to the Moultrie County Food Pantry or to the Bethany Food Pantry. Mary Alice Brenner, 87, of Decatur, died on Sunday, October 4th. A service will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, that's tomorrow, at Mound Chapel Church of God. Visitation is this evening from 5 to 8 p.m., that's Thursday, at the Moran and Goble Funeral Home, and for 1 hour before the service in the church. Burial will take place at Graceland Cemetery with flight home ceremonies. Memorials may be made to the Mound Chapel Church of God. Betty Lou Clausen, 88, formerly of Findlay and Shelbyville, passed away at 6:12 p.m. on Friday, October 2nd, at Mercy Hospital in Springfield, Missouri. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, October 10th, at Findlay United Methodist Church, with Reverend Hargrave officiating. Visitation will be 1 hour before service time at the church. Burial will be at the Glenwood Cemetery in Shelbyville. Memorials may be made to the Findlay United Methodist Church. Mary Evelyn Dillon, 98, of Shelbyville, passed away at 11:59 p.m. on Monday, October 5th, at Shelby Memorial Hospital in Shelbyville. A funeral service will be held tomorrow, that's Friday, October 9th, at 2 p.m. at Lockhart Green Funeral Home in Shelbyville, with a visitation from noon until the time of the service. Burial will be in the Glenwood Cemetery in Shelbyville. Memorials may be made to the family. H. Leon Drew, 88, of Decatur, passed away at 10:30 p.m. Tuesday, October 6th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. A funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, October 10th, at Life Builders Church of God, 833 West Pershing Road in Decatur. Visitation will be held tomorrow evening from 5 to 7 p.m., October 9th, at Printlinger and Earl Funeral Home in Decatur. Graveside services will be at Fairlawn Cemetery in Decatur with military rites. Memorials may be made to Life Builders Church of God. Marcella R. Jordan, 94, of Mount Auburn, passed away at 5:25 p.m. on Tuesday, October 6th, at Life's Journey in Taylorville. A funeral service will be held at 11:30 a.m. on Friday, October 9th, that's tomorrow, at 11:30, at Mount Auburn United Methodist Church with Bob Tapatti officiating. Visitation will be held from 10 until 11:30 a.m. prior to the services in the church. Burial will be in the Grove City Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Shriners Hospital for Children, Christian County Senior Citizen Center, or to an organization of the donor's choice. Ruth Eloise McCourt, Daisy, 84, of Decatur and raised in Sullivan, Illinois, went to sleep on October 3rd, surrounded by family, friends, and her faithful pastor and his wife. Let's see, I'm looking for services here. It's a long, personally written, looks like a beautiful obituary in the paper. A visitation will be held tomorrow at 1 p.m., that's Friday, October 9th, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home in Mount Zion, followed by a memorial service filled with happiness and music at 2 p.m. A butterfly release will occur at the graveside as she is laid to rest in the Mount Zion Township Cemetery. Following Ruth's services, a time of food and fellowship will be held at Fletcher Park Recreation Center in Mount Zion. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorial gifts be made to the Mackenzie Edwards College Fund, care of Decatur Earth Movers Credit Union. James D. Niceman, 79, of Forsyth, passed away on Tuesday, October 6th at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Visitation will be held tomorrow, that's Friday, October 9th, from 5 to 7 p.m. in the Moran and Goebel Funeral Home, with a vigil prayer service at 4:30 p.m. Memorial Mass of the Resurrection will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, October 10th, in St. James Catholic Church. Memorials may be made to the Good Samaritan Inn. Clara A. Young, 104, of Moberly, Missouri, formerly of Taylorville, passed away on Monday, October 5th, at Moberly Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in Moberly, Missouri. Funeral services will be held Saturday, October 10th, at noon at Sutton Memorial Home in Taylorville. Burial will be in Oak Hill Cemetery in Taylorville. Visitation will be held Saturday, October 10th, from 11 to noon at Sutton Memorial Home in Taylorville. Shirley May Beaver, that's B-E-V-E-R, 101, of Newton, passed away on Friday, October 2nd at St. John's Hospital in Springfield, Illinois. A funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, October 10th, at the Crane Funeral Home in Newton. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. until the time of the service at the funeral home. Burial will be in the West Lawn Cemetery in Newton. Memorial gifts in memory of Shirley may be given to the Southeastern Hospice, the Hope Food Pantry, or to an organization of the donor's choice. Mary Alice Brenner, 87, of Decatur, passed away on Sunday, October 4th, in her home with her family at her side. Visitation will be held this evening, that's Thursday, October 8th, from 5 to 8 p.m. in the Moran and Goebel Funeral Home. Services to celebrate her life will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, that's tomorrow, October 9th, at Mound Chapel Church of God, with visitation 1 hour prior to the service in the church. Burial with flight home ceremony will follow in Graceland Cemetery. Memorial donations may be made to the Mound Chapel Church of God. Jackie E. Brown, 72, of Boody, Illinois, passed away at 11:03 p.m. Sunday, October 4th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Memorial services will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, October 10th, at Zion Chapel United Methodist Church in Boody. Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Home in Decatur is handling the arrangements. Ronald D. Campbell, 76, of Stonington, passed away on Monday, October 5th, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Honoring Ronald's wishes, there will be no public services, and cremation services will be provided by the Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Decatur. Charles Floyd Hardy, 68, of Scuba, Mississippi, formerly of Decatur, went to be with our Heavenly Father at 2 p.m. on Thursday, October 1st, at Anderson Regional Medical Center in Meridian, Mississippi. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, that's tomorrow, October 9th, at Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home on Oakland Avenue in Decatur, with visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. today, Thursday, at the funeral home. Burial will be at Macon County Memorial Park in Harristown, Illinois. Memorials may be made to the family. A memorial service for Charles's friends in Mississippi will be held at a later date. Charles A. Reed, Sr., 57, of Decatur, passed away on Friday, October 2nd. Services celebrating his life will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, that's tomorrow, October 9th, at the Church of the Living God, PGTCWFF, Temple Number 46, with Overseer Elston Carter officiating. Visitation will be 1 hour before that service. Burial will take place at Greenwood Cemetery. Professional services have been entrusted to the Walker Funeral Service. Lana Marie Trustner of Decatur, beloved wife, sister, grandmother, and friend, passed away on Friday, September 25th. Friends and family are invited to celebrate her vibrant life at Life Changers Church, 1305 East Prairie Avenue, on October 10th from 1 to 3 p.m. The Walker Funeral Service is in charge of arrangements. Barbara Ann Woodard, 63, of Decatur, passed away on Friday, October 2nd, in her residence after a brief battle with cancer, surrounded by those who loved her the most. A memorial visitation to celebrate and honor her life will be held from 1 to 2 p.m. on Saturday, October 10th, at Dawson and Wyckoff North Chapel. Promptly following visitation, Barbara's wishes were for her family and friends to share memories and stories. Food and celebration will follow at the Bourbon Barrel. We turn now to an editorial written by the editors of the Decatur Herald and Review. It carries the headline, "Tomorrow is Our Day to Shine." Okay, members of the Decatur community, tomorrow is your day to shine. It's the date of the annual WSOY Community Food Drive, a day when the Decatur area shows everyone its spirit, its heart, and its generosity. The goal this year is an amazing 1.04 million pounds dollars of food. That's the same amount raised last year when the annual food drive exceeded its goal and crashed the million mark for the first time. There are a lot of superlatives needed to recognize that kind of effort. This food drive is easily the largest 12-hour food drive in the United States. The food collected fills nearly 20 semi-trucks full, a remarkable statistic when you remember the goal of the initial drive was to fill one semi-truck. Other larger communities have expressed interest in how Decatur gets this done. Hundreds of volunteers will make sure the event runs smoothly and the food gets weighed, credited to the correct school for an annual contest, and stored properly. Here are the details. The food drive will be held from 6 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Friday at the Kroger store at the Airport Plaza. WSOY will broadcast live throughout the day. You can drive by and donate during that time. You can keep up with the food drive results on social media, including the Herald and Review website. The food drive works because the community gets involved. The sponsors are many and varied and include Archer Daniels Midland Company, Kroger, Dale's South Lake Pharmacy, Decatur Back and Neck Center, First Christian Church, The Herald and Review, Jones and Thomas Incorporated, JTNet, Skeff Distributing, Soy Capital Bank and Trust, Ticket and Trips, United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois, WAND-TV, and Wood Printing Services. Decatur's Catholic Charities and the Salvation Army received the donations, and last year enough was collected so that Northeast Community Fund and the Good Samaritan Inn each received $40,000. The Judy Mason Thanksgiving Basket Project received $25,000, and other local organizations received similar amounts. Schools across the county get involved in the competition to see which one can donate the most food. The winning schools are rewarded with the money coming from the sponsors so that every dollar raised and every can donated makes its way to help the hungry in the community. However, the key to all of this is you. For the food drive to reach its goal and to again exceed $1 million, everyone has to get involved. Every donation, no matter the size, is important. The community has been supportive of this effort in the past, beyond the belief of many. Let's step up once again, Decatur, and show our generosity and our compassion. We turn to a letter to the editor in the Decatur Herald and Review, signed by... Oops, I've just lost her name. Oh, Kathy Fike. And no surprise, the headline is, Council should vote no on Aldi rezoning plans. Empty storefronts near Water Street and Pershing Road, at French Quarter West on Pershing and near Pershing and Charles Street, and vacant lots near Martin Luther King and Ash Avenue, at French Quarter West and near Pershing and Charles, are only a few examples of Decatur's commercially zoned properties that are desperately waiting to be used again to bring more tax revenue to Decatur. At some of these locations, parking lots and entrances and exits to major streets are already in place. With such available sites, why would the Decatur Plan Commission recommend rezoning U.S. Business 51 and Ash as a commercial zone for a proposed Aldi store? Pershing Road, which combines Illinois 48 and Illinois 121, is also a major business thoroughfare. The empty storefronts along this corridor do absolutely nothing to bestow a favorable perception of Decatur. Problems with rezoning U.S. Business 1 and Ash include increased traffic on residential streets, 12 weekly truck deliveries entering from Oak Lane, a residential street, increased traffic at Macon County's busiest intersection, difficult entry to the proposed Aldi from U.S. Business 51 with access only by way of a sharp left turn past two lanes of oncoming eastbound Ash traffic, refusal of city staff, quote, to make improvements deemed necessary if additional traffic generated by the store causes problems, end quote, 900 more cars estimated daily, double that to 1,800 if you count entrances and exits of the 900 cars to Aldi. A bike and walking path very near the rear of Aldi's delivery area, and a very likely problem with water runoff west and downhill toward Stevens Creek. This rezoning will cause many more problems than benefits. The City Council should unanimously vote no to this rezoning. We turn now to the Decatur Tribune and pick up some articles and columns they have there. City Council receives proposed hotel redevelopment agreement. The Decatur City Council on Monday agreed to receive and file an agreement that, if approved, could help facilitate the development of a new 80-room hotel on the city's east side. The agreement with Evergreen Hospitality LLC would call for the city to share 50% of the current hotel use tax for 5 years from a new Hampton Inn hotel being considered for the now vacant parcel at 2225 South Mount Zion Road in Decatur. The developer would invest more than $7 million in the development, with the goal being to begin construction yet this year of all pending if all pending approvals can be obtained. The project is expected to provide local construction jobs for approximately 110 tradespeople over the construction period of 3 to 9 months, and the hotel is expected to support 30 full-time equivalent employees once open. It is anticipated that an additional hotel in this location will create a hotel cluster, which will attract additional visitors to the area, providing benefits to retailers and restaurants. In many instances, the city receives and files agreements in advance of a formal vote to allow for review prior to official action. The Decatur City Council will formally consider the agreement at the November 19th council meeting. Salvation Army names Brad and Bridget Sweeney as Tree of Light's honorary co-chairs for 2015. The Salvation Army has announced that Decatur Police Chief Brad and his wife Bridget Sweeney will be this year's honorary Tree of Light's co-chairs. Having the support of these two fine people will help us tremendously in our largest and very important campaign, said Major Wes Dahlberg, Corps Officer of the Salvation Army. Chief Sweeney said, "This is the 127th year the Salvation Army has served Decatur and Macon County, and for the 117th time, we will start the very familiar sound of our bells ringing around Decatur. The money raised from the Tree of Lights campaign supports every program that the Salvation Army offers the residents of Decatur and Macon County. We thank the Macon County residents for being so supportive of us. Without their generosity, we would not be able to assist anyone," added Dahlberg. Brad and Bridget Sweeney are longtime residents of Decatur. Brad has been a member of the Decatur Police Force for over 20 years and was recently named Chief of Police for the City of Decatur. Bridget is a teacher aide at the Holy Family School. The Sweeneys have 3 children, Sam, Sydney, and Joey. The Salvation Army's Tree of Lights campaign starts on November 5th and will run until December 24th. The Salvation Army kettles will be out and bell ringers will be ringing starting on Friday, November 6th at 10 a.m. Our bell ringers will be ringing from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. We have several individuals and groups signed up to volunteer to ring for us, but we could use many more," said Dave McDonough, Director of Development and Communications. It is easy to volunteer. Go to our website, www.sadecatur.org, or www.ringbells.org. That will take you to our volunteer site where you can choose the day, time, and location of where you would like to ring for us," added McDonough. Donations of checks and cash may be placed in any of the kettles, mailed to the Salvation Army at Post Office Box 836, Decatur, Illinois, 62525 hyphen 0836, or a credit or debit card donation through their website at www.sadecatur.org. I think we've got enough time to go back to Paul Osborne's City Beat column, pick up a little part of it. He begins, "A few months ago, I mentioned in this column the bad condition of some of the downtown looking for Lincoln signs and how they should be replaced. I also mentioned that many years after its dedication, Preston Jackson's African American Civil War Soldiers Monument still had no signage identifying it. I received assurances from both City Manager Tim Gleason and Assistant City Manager Billy Tyus that the problems would be addressed very soon. I assured those who asked me about the statue and faded signage that something would be done because both Gleason and Tyus had given me their word on the matter. Now, they have kept their word, and I'm really pleased. I received a message from Tyus with an update on both items that concern me and others. He wrote, 'All of the Looking for Lincoln signs have been installed downtown, leaving just one near the Milliken Homestead. We hired a contractor to install the downtown storyboards, but the final sign will be installed soon by staff and reps from the Decatur Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Also, we have ordered the plaque for the African American Civil War Soldiers Monument from C&K Custom Signs, and they estimate that installation will take place within the next 2 to 3 weeks. We will also be doing a larger, more descriptive sign on site with more of a narrative and potentially pictures, but wanted to get the plaque in first.' That's great news, and a lot of us say thanks for following through and getting the work done." I don't think we have enough time to get to any more items in there. He does appear to talk about the food drive. Real quick, I enjoyed, this is again Paul Osborne, "I enjoyed getting to know more about Associate Circuit Judge Thomas E. Little last week as we chatted about his candidacy for Macon County Circuit Judge. Judge Little will be running in the March 2016 primary as a candidate of the Republican Party to fill the vacancy created by Judge Timothy Stedman's retirement. So far, Judge Little is the only announced candidate for the position." We are just about out of time for the second half hour of news from the Decatur area for Thursday, October 8th. This has been Ruth McCauley reading with you today. It's always a pleasure to do so. I look forward to reading again with you next week. And until that time, you all take care.